This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinira Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hi and welcome to all our Papua New Guinea listeners. And before we get started with the footy chat, we really want to send our love and prayers to those impacted by the natural disaster in PNG. We hope you're feeling the love and prayers from across the Pacific and are doing okay. And to everyone else tuning in to our Neesia Footy Friday show, welcome. This is the spot we shine a light on our Pacifica talent in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is the co-host with the most, Tinira Arona. T, welcome, brother.
Kia ora, Sammy. Kia ora to everyone listening. With the most, what, grey hairs?
Grey hairs and yeah, there's a bit going on up there, salt and pepper.
Yeah, welcome everyone to Neesia Footy Fridays. We are here. Sala Tonga Tuki will be joining us straight out of State of Origin camp, and she'll be covering all the rugby league news, giving us an update on how everything's going in the women's blues camp. We'll also catch up with Totai Kefu, and he will cover all the rugby union news. There is a little bit going on, Sammy. Melbourne.
Yeah, there is a bit. Yeah, devastating news for everyone, everyone associated with the Melbourne Rebels. And they've got, I think from memory, they've got the most Pacifica players in their team down there. And they've they won't be in Super Rugby next year. So we'll cover that in our Super Rugby news.
Do you know where Tongan Thor's going? Surely coming back to the TAS.
That's strong mail, but who knows?
Hey guys, it's Josh Papali'i here, and you're listening to Neesia Footy.
Josh Papali'i, hey, that went well on socials, didn't it?
Yes, my quarter Cook Island cousin from Otutaki.
Yeah, mate. I didn't realise how many Cook Islanders would jump on that in the comments section. Even the coach himself, Carmichael Hunt.
Yes, Carmichael Hunt, mate. Wait till I start poaching guys like Val, Joseph Manu. I'm going after all of them. So next
World
Cup. You're going
to be the next Prime Minister, my bro, if you get in there.
You know that movement that Josh Papali'i was talking about? He's going to come and start the movement for the Cook Islands. And then you'll see us take over the world. What are we doing here?
What are we doing here? News? Get off the Cook Island news. We're done with it.
The transmitter's not up there yet.
Yes.
But it will be shortly. Yeah, let's get to the news, Sammy. Last night we've seen Eels take on the Sharks. A few stars missing in this because of the origin. Nico Hines probably the biggest one for the Cronulla Sharks. But the Eels getting the job done at home, 34-22. Big congratulations to Tongan Sione Katoa. He played his 100th NRL game. Also scored the first try in this game. Ended up bagging two tries. They got off to a good start, the Cronulla Sharks did. But then it was a bit of an entertaining game where momentum swung. One team had the momentum. The other team gained from the impact of the bench. And some crazy tries. We've seen Fijian winger Mike Asivo scoring two tries. There was one moment where he's running down the sideline. Poor Will Kennedy coming, the fullback for the Cronulla Sharks. One-on-one tackle. You're up against Mike Asivo. What are you doing in that position?
Just touch back here, sir. Go and score the try. I'm not putting my body on the line for that.
Well, that's what he done.
Is that what he did?
He put his body on the line, threw it, and then Mike has just squared him up. Run straight over the top of him, put the ball down, scored a try. Thought another player that stood out for Parramatta Eels was the Samoan Kelma Tuilangi. He played left back row, very, very strong, had four offloads, ran over his opponents, and also just the way that he runs his lines to bring, engage defenders, and they played out the back and causing that space for Mike Siva on the edge. Will Pinnacini, center, Tongan, he killed it. He had six tackle breaks, four Parramatta Eels, also three offloads. The offload game really killed the Sharks, Eels dominating that space. Six tackle breaks, and he also, Will also had 184 metres. But my try in this game was big Junior Bolo. He runs out the back line on a block shape, and then he just carries about four or five defenders to score a try. It was, crazy.
Put down half a metre away next to the right upright. Hands goes right to Moses. Links up now with Barlaw. Barlaw through one. Leg right to the goal line and he gets it down. Doing try to Junior Barlaw. Parramatta extends its lead. 8 gone second half. Parramatta 20, Cronulla Sutherland 10. The try to a barging, rampaging Junior Barlaw.
Yeah, he was a man on a mission on his way to the try line. Expert opinion, Parramatta Eels, is that a turning point for them? Like having Mitch Moses and Clint back there and seems like all the other players look settled. Do you think it's a turning point for them?
Mate, it is a huge mountain for them to climb if they had to make the 8. I think I heard they had to win the next 10 of the 13 games left in the tournament. Turning point, possibly, but you know, realistically, it'd be a tough battle to make that 8, in my view anyway, and especially just losing their coach.
Yeah, true.
But it is good to see them on the, you know, winning the game and playing some good footy, entertaining footy as well. So you never know. We'll see. Roosters done it last year. What did they win the last 8 games in their competition?
Did too. Yep.
So it can be done. We'll touch shortly with Sala Tongatuki and speak about the changes that Queensland has made. But I just wanted to point out a couple. Samoan Ivania Pilite, she's been pushed out to the wing. Tongan back, Emanita Paki comes into the starting 17. But the big one for me was Samoan Chiana Lofipo, the greatest dancer in the NRLW. She starts at lock at such a young age, being on that given that opportunity in that arena, starting in the middle, a huge responsibility. How do you think she'll go?
Well, you're right. It is a big game. It could be 30,000 screaming Blues supporters there as well. And sorry, she was 18th player last week.
Is she that was right? Part of the squad. Yeah.
Part of the squad. So I think she would have soaked up that atmosphere and got a taste of it from a preparation point of view. But, you know, playing and not playing, obviously two different things. But I think, yeah, from our interview that we did with her, just her temperament and her energy, the way she approaches footy, I think she's going to suit that arena.
Yeah, she looks like a go-getter, just a workhorse. Does all that dirty stuff, you know, just works hard from marker.
Dirty stuff in a good way.
Dirty stuff is a good
not a dirty player.
No. Dirty, I'm meaning
just, you know, clarify.
That,
yeah,
that tough work.
Yeah, all the 1% of work. Yep.
Yeah, middles don't want, or rugby players don't want to do. But yeah, I think she'll do a great job. And
speak
yeah.
for yourself, mate.
Well, but 7 changes to this team.
Every player will know they're on notice, and they'll be doing everything they can. And that Queensland spirit that they always talk about, I think it will shine through in this game for them as well.
In other news, NRLW news, we've seen Blake Cavallaro. He is now the head coach for the Bulldogs women's team in 2025. Actually, he worked at the Roosters, coached the women's team. I'm just trying to remember which women's team it was, but very successful with, from what I've heard. Great women's coach. I actually texted him saying congratulations. He said thank you.
And he didn't reply back.
And he said, thank you.
Okay.
But yeah, it's good to see that. Bulldogs, now we're waiting for the Warriors head coach to be named shortly. And remember, you can hear every NRL game each week live on ABC Radio Australia. Oh, yeah, we've got rugby news to go. What do you got, Roy?
It's actually big news in rugby this week. In the last 24, 48 hours, I think it has been, out of Melbourne. We mentioned it just at the top of the show. The Melbourne Rebels men's team will no longer be part of Super Rugby Pacific beyond this year. It's obviously devastating news for all the players, staff and fans down in Melbourne. And, you know, CEO of Rugby Australia, Phil Waugh, said it's only the men's team as well. It's not the women's team. That they'll still be there so far.
Why do you think they've left this announcement so late if the rumours were brewing early in the season?
Well, there was 3 scenarios that were going to happen if they were to come back into the competition or stay in the competition. 3 different models. If the Melbourne Rebels had a consortium of investors, they got together about $18 million to have this proposal put forward to Rugby Australia. And so I guess that took time to put that money together and the plan and how it would be viable moving into next year. Rugby Australia decided it wouldn't be viable in terms of financials because they still felt like the risk was too great for them, that they would have to bail them out. Even beyond, if they were to stay in beyond this year. So It's just so, and then you've got all the moving parts of where do you put the players, where do you put the coaching staff. I think there was just, there'd be so much paperwork around trying to make sure that you do everything possible so you're not going to court for unfair dismissal or anything like that. So
it took time.
Took time, and, yep. And it's above my pay grade to know full well the details, the in and outs, but that was that's why it took so long for it to happen. But, you know, to announce it now, I think all the players knew it was coming. But when you know it's coming, when it actually happens, they're probably two different things. And yeah, it's sad news for the men's team.
One thing I do love to see though is them making the top eight and not using this as an excuse to underperform this season. You know, that it goes to show that whether you're rugby or a rugby league player and you step on the field, never do you ever try to lose on purpose.
You know, no, you don't.
You're out there, you're putting in 100% effort, you play with pride, play with passion, and you know, well done to them for, you know, having a successful season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's probably the frustrating thing about rugby fans and everyone around is the fact that you can, it is devastating, but you can get angry at what's happened now, but you've had 14 years to guess to win footy games. If we look at the Drua, you know, they make the like, even though the top eight's a bit of a not a laughing, I don't want to say laughing stuff, but you know what I mean? It's the Drua have made the top eight in their second year. They're looking to make it in their third year. Moana Pacifica is still in contention, and they've only been in the competition for 3 years with the limited resources, you know, and they've made an impact to be able to press forward and do well in this competition, whereas the Rebels have been around for 14 seasons and they've been up and down. So it's sad that it's taken their last year to have their best season to make their first ever final series, and hopefully they can go out with a bang.
Do you think this is on the back of, you know, not being successful, or just them not having a fan base to bring in cash?
It is a tough one. Seen, yeah,
down, you know, is it Magic Round? You call it? Was it Magic?
Super Rugby Magic.
Yeah,
Super Magic.
But we've seen down in Melbourne, you know, the amount of green seats, not many fans coming in, and that's for all Super Rugby teams. So if Melbourne are playing down there, imagine the crowds that they get.
Yeah, exactly. You're not wrong. And that's part of the other strategic reason. When you look at the Melbourne Storm, apparently they didn't really break even until 2018.
Yeah, well, look, they're competing with a whole other sport.
And there's about eight. How many AFL teams down there? There's plenty down there. There's 10
in total, mate.
10 in total. mate, you're an AFL fan, are you?
Yeah. Sydney Swans.
Down in Melbourne. But yeah, so they are competing for that commercial dollar as well. And the fans down there, and some of those fans still don't know the difference between rugby league and rugby union. But what we do know, there's a lot of Pacifica talent down there. There is a lot. They'll need to find a new home. And again, going back to the women's team, there's plenty of Pacifica talent. In the women's team, they'll still be there. CEO Phil Waugh said that they will be looking at Super W. And he mentioned the Aupiki tournament, Super Rugby Aupiki in New Zealand. Does that come together? Also, the Lions, the British and Irish Lions, they are touring here next year. They only tour every 12 years. The Rebels were scheduled to play them next year. And Phil Waugh mentioned, hopefully this comes to fruition, and we'll get Kev's thoughts on this as well when we get him on, is he said a Pacifica team could play against that British and Irish Lions team. So
was it just throwing out there any Pacific team? Was there any, you know, specific?
Well, if you take it back to, I think, 2001 or 2002, they had the Pacific Island team play against the Wallabies, and they were massive. Like, they were huge, and they took the Wallabies, like, to the edge. Right. And so it could be something like that where they get to choose across the globe, or it could be a mix of Moana Pacifica and Drua. I know there's so many questions, not enough answers. So, yeah, hopefully that will be a good game for them next year. But then also Phil Waugh talked about the pathway systems, you know, making sure that there still is a pathway for local grown talent in Melbourne to put on a gold jersey or play Super Rugby or go overseas, you know. And if we look at someone like Rob Liotta that we had on not long ago.
Let's Oach,
yes. The big man, like, he's the first ever Melbourne-born captain for the Melbourne Rebels. So his rugby journey started there before he had to move to Sydney. They're still ensuring that there's going to be pathway systems down there for them. It just won't be for Super Rugby, for a Melbourne team. So
any news on where Rob's going? Surely you got something. Give me something.
Nah, well, I think when you – he's there. So you look at Daniela Tupou, Rob Liotta, they've signed with Rugby Australia for the next couple of years.
Okay, so they'll be in
– they're going to be here in Australia. Somewhere. I think the natural thing is they probably will end up in Sydney or Brisbane. I know the Force and the Brumbies would love to have their services as well, but – for Australian to do well, I think our biggest catchment areas need to do well, and that's Queensland and the Waratahs. So it's going to strengthen. It's definitely going to strengthen our teams here in Australia. But we'll see how we go.
I hope it does. If you minus one team and all the best players go to the other few.
Well, we thought that when the Western Force got kicked out, and it didn't quite happen. The Kiwi team still flogged us, but. Yeah, there's so much happening there with the Melbourne Rebels. We'll soon know more, especially because they've got their game this week against the Drua over the in Drua. Fiji. And I can only imagine the players will be getting up for this one and trying to finish off the season on a massive high for their friends, their family and their fans. So a bit happening there. The Oceania Rugby Women's Championship has been going on in Brisbane the last week or so between Tonga, Samoa, Fiji and PNG. Samoa, in Samoan Language Week, happy Samoan Language Week, they beat the Tongans 29-7. The first game between Samoa and PNG was called off due to travel issues. It means whoever wins on Sunday between Fijiana and Manusina Samoa will book their place in the 2025 Rugby World Cup in England next
year. That's huge.
So there's a lot to play for this coming game for those two teams. It will go off.
Whoever. So they'll have their place before the Wallaroos will even.
That's exactly right.
Get their ticket.
That's exactly right, T. So.
Yeah, listen, mate.
There he is. Do you want to cross over to Union?
Absolutely not.
Hey, you know what? Why you got the movement for Papali'i? Don't get the Cook Island women's team up and going for rugby. Surely there's a spot there for them. And then Madrid Sevens is on this week, final tournament before Paris Olympics. Samoa competing in the relegation tournament to stay in the top 12 for next season. So we have a lot of footy coming up in both codes. And we've got our experts coming up with Sala Tongatuki and Toto Kefu to give us a bit more of a rundown on it.
Let's get it on.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we have Sala Tongatuki straight out of State of Origin camp. Game 2 coming off the back of a great win against them Queenslanders. Sala, thank you for joining us here on Nijin Footy Fridays.
Oh, thank you for having me. So it was a pleasure talking all things footy. So, yeah.
So, straight from the hotel room, how's everything going in camp?
No, everything's been good. Yesterday was our day one. We got right into a field session, a bit of team bonding and some media stuff. We had like a 1-hour window. We didn't really have to get an updated team photo. It was pretty much the same squad. So, yeah, that was pretty nice for us girls. So we didn't have to wait around for long. But, yeah, other than that, we had a really good training session yesterday. And yeah, we did some video, like just had a team meeting actually, sorry, not video. And yeah, we were just talking about the big changes that Queensland have made in their team for game 2. So yeah.
We'll touch on that shortly, but was there any bonding session?
So today is actually our bonding session. I think if I heard correctly, we're going to escape room.
Escape room?
Yeah, what's we that? Did it last year.
Say the group of us three, we go in a room and there's all these little puzzles and one puzzle will open up another puzzle, that puzzle will open up, but your aim is to get out of the room.
I was too busy, you know, training and being a professional and getting ready. I don't know about it.
Oh, boring.
Obviously, it didn't work for me because it didn't win any, but does your in-depth knowledge around your shows that you watch before the game help you with the escape room?
No, I'm so
detective
dumb.
Detective work? No. Oh, that's interesting. Well, I guess talking about going into Origin Camp, how's the energy compared to the first one, even though you got the escape room today? But what's the energy like and the feeling like meeting this time around?
No, energy is like pretty infectious for all of us. A lot of us missed each other, and we all roomied again with the same people that we had in game one. I think what stuck for us in game one, we don't want to change for game 2. Energy has been really good, but like I said, we had a really good field session yesterday. I wouldn't say short, sharp. It was pretty of a lengthy one compared to all the other sessions we did. Only because the first day we came in for game 1, it was just media day all day, Channel 9 stuff, all that kind of shoot, and then just New South Wales own individual stuff, and then, yeah, just team photos, but, yeah, just a long waiting around day for game one's camp. But, yeah, it was nice that we didn't get to waste our first day and just rip into a session. But, yeah, we got Jim this morning, and then we got Tim Bonney, and then a really nice dinner that the New South Wales Rugby League is shouting the girls. So, yeah, we're pretty grateful, and, yeah, we're just excited to be around each other. We know game one, Queensland's coming in not with the same team, so we can't be complacent and just, you know, think that's going to be one of those easy games. We sort of got to go another level with just continuously reminding each other that, you know, there's a lot of strengths that we didn't get to quite use in game one's game, so it's really exciting for us to touch on that and just hopefully execute it come game two on Thursday night.
What are your thoughts on some of the changes that Queensland have made?
Look, we're staying unpredictable with it. Like, I know some of us spoke with Keely Joseph after game ones. I know she's named on the extended bench, but if she's all right to go, like she said, she's planning to, she should be playing game two, she said, then we would see the bench really bump up. You know, she's always performed really great in the Origin arena, Keely Joseph. So, yeah, if she comes on, sweet. But, yeah, they've got a new player on the bench for them. I don't know her really well, but some of our girls that have been fortunate to play in a BMD have said that she's really good. And Sienna Lafipo in the lock, I've seen some of her games and she's actually like tough. She's got a good build on her, smart girl. She's played in all kind of positions for Titans in 2023 season, and their team went to the grand final. Unfortunate, they lost to Newcastle, but I've watched her a fair bit. She's pretty good, so keen to see how she helps take their middles forward. And, yeah, they haven't changed anything with their starting. But, yeah, Ali, I said this before, that's her strength, being in the seven, I feel. Yeah, I don't want to talk it, but, yeah, I think she'll be really good back in the halves pairing with Taryn. Nothing to take away from Z, but every time Tani makes that kind of change, we know that she's not around. Sorry about the language. So, yeah, that's why us girls know that we can't stay complacent. Like, we know that there's a really tough job to do next Thursday night. And, yeah, every session we get together, we just try and nail it, quality and stuff like that.
Sorry, Sala, you mentioned Sienna Lofipo. Believe it or not, she's actually been here on Knees and Footy. So if you ever get bored while you're in camp, you can find that episode wherever you get your podcast.
She's a hell of a dancer. Like, she can crump like hip hop. Yeah, she goes hundies with it. Hey, can you dance?
100%. I actually can. I did a bit of
royal family.
Like, dancing. Little battle there on the field.
Oh, actually, like we follow each other, and I've been watching her and her sister. Her sister's a beast as well. I love that. You know, this is like for a lot of Polynesian girls. Like, I love that. Even though she's a big girl, like, damn, she's not afraid to actually like move as if like she's one of those like tiny, you know, dancers. Like, it's always portrayed on a lot of social reels and that. So good on her, like, for actually just like keep doing what she's doing, because it's actually lighting it a bit in me to want to go back and do some dancing. Honestly, just from watching Sienna, her sister, dance.
What is your go-to dance? Are you a bopper, hip hop, crumper, little shuffle, or do you just mix it all in?
Shuffle even. Oh, yeah.
I've got no idea.
That was just mad. Shuffle. I'm pretty sure it's shuffling and gabbering and all that. That was just a trend thing. But believe it or not, I actually did dancing in schools. And then I was doing contemporary ballet. And then I finished. I just stopped doing that. I ended up just working and stuff. So I didn't really have time. So, yeah.
Sala Parascobel, is it?
Don't even. I love it. What? The
world's
family.
Oh, man, that's cool. We're going to have to see some moves. But back to the footy stuff. When you talk about prepping for Queensland, obviously you do your homework, you pay your respects to, you know, the team that you're going to play against. Is there a point where you stop talking about them and you just focus on yourselves?
Yeah, no, like, I think once we're at the field or just doing, like, team meetings and video reviews, I think that's the only time we really just, like, switch on to sort of pull that focus and energy into our preparation, like, our training, to making sure we're executing everything that we plan to do against Queensland. But the minute we all walk away from it, like the fields, we're walking back to our hotels and just, yeah, now that you've asked, that's a good question. Yeah, no, we don't really talk too much about the Queensland or like put any like head to it. We just already know that they're doing their prep and they're just going to come out 100% firing, and they want to do what we did to them in their territory. And, you know, this is one of their – they got nothing to lose. So this is one of those games that we know they're likely she's going to leave everything on that field at Newcastle. So, yeah, to answer your question, I don't think we think too much about them. Even like me and my roomie, we don't really talk too much about their team. Like once we're in here, we're just talking about our own like lives, personal things, or we're just like watching TV.
How to get out of the escape room.
Just yeah, that's what we'll be doing today.
So yeah, hopefully we'll chat about that next week.
I'm looking forward to it. This week, yeah, we've seen the men's Blues or both Origin teams being selected, and a couple of your Smokies that you mentioned last week were named in that squad. What are your thoughts on the men's team?
Oh, honestly, it's such an informed team. I don't know. I was surprised our Asian player, Abi Kurosawa, wasn't picked.
Yeah.
I haven't really read too much into it all, but I've checked in and he's fit actually. So I'm pretty sad that he's not in there. I'm just confused at who will replace Reece Robson for our Blues boys, but I don't know. What's his name? Cameron McKinnon is a hooker himself. And he's tough as nails. So I'm actually keen to just see how Maguire actually, if that's his actual starting 13 suite, that's where I'll just question who replaces Reece or will Cameron play big minutes and stuff like that, which I've heard he's really, really fit. So I think he can do the job if he has to shift into that hooker spot and then bring Yeo in to, I don't know, play 13 or something like that.
Look at our strengths. Look at our strengths. We've got big Homole and Spencer coming off the bench, you know, you've got those starting.
But, T, would you say, like, would you start Hummel instead and bring Martin off the bench?
Oh, yeah, that's because.
Because, like, last year we all saw what Martin did off the bench.
Yeah.
Like, and he still got his big minutes in, like, coming off the bench. He stayed on a fair bit.
Well,
I don't know.
It's Queensland's kicking game that's going to do the job for them. They're going to turn the big boys around. That's what they're saying. Kick early. 40-20s, field position. That's my prediction.
Yeah, but our back five, like, they're fit. They're mobile. Our middle, no, they're mobile. So, Sam, you sound like you're a Queenslander at the minute.
I've got no idea. I'm just playing devil's advocate here on what I've read somewhere in the past. I've got no idea. But anyway.
Are you having any functions with the men's team together?
No, we don't. So they're playing here in Homebush, but we'll be up in Newcastle.
Oh, okay.
Just, yeah, I'm a bit sad. But we exciting thing is we get to watch them before we play, like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Rather than us having to still, like, worry about our game, then we get to watch them. But we get to watch them on Wednesday night, and then, yeah, we play the next night.
And honest truth, who are you tipping for this game?
In the men's?
In the men's. Oh, obviously, they're not yours.
100%. No, 100% the Blues.
Yeah, that's
boys.
It. Okay,
sweet. Like that. That was just my little, like, you know, two cents. What I was saying earlier, but I've got all like trust and faith in Maguire. Like what we saw him do for the Kiwi and that, in that Pacific Champs last year. I just like, I don't know. I've just been a big fan. We needed that aggression, and he's picked players with that aggression. So, and they're informed, they're fit, and I'm excited to see Dylan Edwards, like, you know, see what he can do in that Blues jersey, because I've got a lot of respect for Teddy in that number one's jersey, so it would have been really hard seeing that change. But everyone's been talking at that, you know, Dylan's been deserving it. Three premierships, you can't deny that, and still consistent and still playing the way he's been playing all those three seasons and that for Penrith. So, yeah, he gets his time now. It's his time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. No, you're right, and it's definitely a big game to watch. Game one in the men's. Yep. Yeah, game one and game two for you. Looking ahead this weekend, a round of NRL, a few stars missing. Which game stands out for you?
Oh, you definitely know I'm going to say Penrith Dragons. I know it's like a big margin, like, you know, Penrith being second and Dragons in 12th place. But Penrith obviously are missing a fair bit of their players, and Dragons also missing some of their players too. I think this would be an opportunity for an upset for the Dragons. They had a big loss last week, and I know that they normally bounce back pretty good from that, just the same way as Penrith did from their loss the previous week, and they done really well last week.
Give us a temperature gauge on a percentage on your thoughts on that upset they get for the Dragons, because I've got a tip either the Panthers or the Dragons.
Look, I'm a bit of a biased person. I am a Penrith supporter. So whatever this upset is, I can't 100% say. But I don't know. I'm just going to have to, lean on our back five. You've got Edwards and Tor out, and they're both big meter eaters, and they're the ones that help, get them out of troubles and that. So this is I feel like it's a duty call for Taruva, Tego, and Alamotti. And you know what? Taruva's done this before. He's done it in a Fiji team playing fullback. He's, I think that he'll be really good there. And having Dane Laurie in that fullback position, be really interesting to see how they go. So
both these two teams have plenty of niche and talent across both teams. We've seen players missing from each team. So in the Dragons, you've got Ben Hunt, Lomax, and Jaden Sua. You have a huge loss for them. And on the Panthers side, you've got, Romy, Yowie, Edwards, Brian Ta'or, Liam Martin. But with that, we've also seen a few deputants that are going to be making their first NRL game appearance. There's been some special videos that have been across social media, one that touched your heart. Do you want to share a bit about that moment?
Yeah, Preston Rickey. He's a back rower and he's coming off the bench for Penrith. He caught his nana before his parents. And, I think his nana was saying something about him, she's going to, call, tell your parents, something like that. But he actually wants to spend a bit more time talking about this whole preparation and with his nana. So, I cried. I don't know if it's my cycle of hormones or something like that, but I was crying, staring at my phone. And I'm what's wrong with me? And I was watching this packing for Origin. I'm I don't need teas right now. I need to be solid and strong. And I love videos like that. And him just constantly crying, I think it was 3 minutes or something, that just shows how much that jersey is really going to mean to him. So I'm definitely looking forward to his debut. Because I've seen so many players that who've, sacrifice and have been waiting for this moment, they actually go out there and kill it. So touch wood for you, Preston, that you actually go out there and just live out your dreams and have a cool-ass debut and make your nana and your family proud back home. I was in a mess, tease.
Yeah, I'm with you. It must be my cycle as well, because I shed a tear with those type of things as well. As I get older.
I'm
no,
solid.
No, you're staunch, you reckon? Staunch, get the hell out of here.
Concrete lad.
This guy, seen you cry plenty of times.
You two little softies.
I want to talk a bit about the Dragons team. So, the Fiangay brothers, the twins, Max and Matthew. I haven't seen them play together for a while starting for Dragons. It's always just been one of them. And then they've got Jesse Marsh, who's actually gone into the seven in replacement of Hunt.
Wow.
So, and that's quite funny. I remember watching a Bears game where Jesse was playing half and the twins were playing in the New South Wales Cup for Dragons. And it was actually really, it was down to the wire kind of game. And those three players I mentioned actually had a really good crack at each other in opposing in that game. So I'm excited to see them three actually now playing with each other. I'm really, that's who I'm probably going to keep my eye out for. It's the twins. They're pretty quite similar, and I reckon they'll be really good for Taruva and Alamotti to take on. That's why I picked this game, not because I love Penrith, sorry, but especially because of that back sort of competition there.
Yep. Thank you again for joining us here on Nijan Footy
good
Friday.
Luck next
we
week.
Wish you
good luck.
All the best.
Thanks, boys.
And we know that last game they kept the secret weapon for the last few minutes, and this game she's going to be unleashed and cause havoc for the Queenslanders. So all the best, Sulla.
Thanks, boys.
Recipe of the week.
All right, Sammy.
Boy, look at you with those real, puppy mate. Dog eyes. What's going on?
I don't cook, mate.
What do you mean you don't cook?
I've got a really good wife that she's Australian, and after a few years, she started learning how to cook Nijan dishes. So, and only because the best thing that I can cook is Weet-Bix with banana.
You don't even cook Weet-Bix, just quietly. It's just...
Says some of your recipes, mate. Put the popcorn, the...
But no, but that's not cooking. I didn't say I was cooking
the
it.
Peanut butter. The peanut, chocolate, and M&Ms.
Yeah, that's still a recipe, but it's not cooking.
But yeah, well, anyways, Weet-Bix, banana, honey. What else can I cook? Some scrambled eggs on toast. Nice smashed avocado as well.
Ooh, I like a smashed avocado.
That's probably, yeah, as far as I can go. So coming to these recipes, mate, well, I think we should just wrap it up.
You would be actually frustrating to cook for. Anyway, well, I'm not a great cook either. I'm actually all right cook. But I stick to five dishes and then I've already given them all. And,
what's in five?
And, well, bat soup is one of them. I've been trying to catch a bat outside. I've got my fruit bat tree up the back. So where are we leading with this? Are we done with our recipes?
I reckon we're going to bring Culture Shock over to this slot here.
Oh, so from our Monday show, Culture Shock?
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. Yeah, recipe of the week is done. We'll be moving over to Culture Shock. Let's get to Todai Kefu.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Todai Kefu.
With Todai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is the Wallaby, Queensland Reds, and Ikaletahi legend, Todai Kefu. Kefs, welcome to the show, brother. How's your week been?
Been a good week. Been a very good week. Been a fruitful week.
A bit of coin in the back pocket.
Couple wins, eh?
Couple wins, is it?
my wife takes it straight away anyway. I don't even know what money looks like these days.
It's like that when you have heaps of it, you don't even notice it goes. But a lot happening in rugby union. The announcement of the Melbourne Rebels, they won't be participating in Super Rugby Pacific next year, and it's just the men's so far, so that their men's comp. What did you make of that news when it broke?
Yeah, it was always going to happen, and I think that's been hanging over the players' heads for the whole season. And honestly, we talked about this, I think, last week. They've done an unbelievable job, the players, of just getting through the season and qualifying for the top eight.
Do you think the players they've been preparing earlier in the season, expecting them not to be in the season next year? So they're already preparing what's next for them, you know, signing at different clubs, looking at different options?
See, definitely. I'm pretty close to a management group who has a lot of those players. Some of those players had signed contracts for other teams before the halfway mark in the season. So a lot of those conversations in terms of negotiation and all that had already happened. And even before halfway, most of the players had talked to other clubs. Some of them already signed overseas deals and even for other franchises locally.
When we look at some of the names that are going to be available, obviously it's devastating for the Melbourne Rebels, but some of our Pacifica names, we've got Alex Murphy, Jordan Ulesi, who's played for the Wallabies, Ponifat Mosili, played for the Wallabies, Sam Talakai, played for the Wallabies, Daniela Tupou, Rob Liotta, Lucan Salakai Lotto. Like, there is a plethora of talent there. Do you think they'll end up in Australian franchises, or do you reckon they head overseas?
Well, we hope they stay locally, and I think some of them will. You know, they're still young enough, and I think some are chasing that Wallaby dream, the younger players especially. But I'd say the older players would probably look to move overseas and maybe start a new chapter. And it all depends with, you know, there's a lot of factors influencing that decision, age, money. I think we'll know more about it. I know there's a few have signed for Queensland, which is great for us. You know, that only strengthens our team. But, you know, there's a lot of factors probably influencing those decisions.
Just on that as well, it was interesting hearing Phil Waugh's comments with the Lions tour next year. Obviously, only tour every 12 years. The Rebels were supposed to play against them. He mentioned there could be a Pacifica team that fills that gap or an Australia A team. Well, what's your thoughts on that concept playing against the prestigious team like the Lions?
Yeah, I love that. Like, even a provincial selection team, Australian A team. We used to have a lot of those games back in the old days, you know, go back to 10, 15 years ago. Even those type of teams toured overseas. I remember a Queensland 15 team toured Europe way back in 97 or 98. And they also toured Argentina. So those tours were fantastic in just blooding young talent. So look, it could be a maybe even a club team. I used to love club teams playing. Remember when Randwick played the All Blacks one year?
Yep.
Oh, mate, and the ground was absolutely chock-a-block. And Randwick had full strength, so they had the Yellow Brothers, they had Simon Poitevin. Unbelievable concept. And I used to love those, watching those type of games.
Oh, man, I think it would be outstanding, especially if it is a Pacifica team, a combination of Moana and the Drua players, and it being able to choose from across the globe. It will be a strong, strong game. Hopefully that can go ahead. The Rebels have the Drua this week in Fiji, leading into their first ever quarterfinal series as well. Like, how do you think they're going to go, one in Fiji and then obviously their quarterfinal game?
Yeah, look, I think it's probably the match of the round, really, because Fiji need to win to cement their top eight spot. And, you know, they've got the Force, the Crusaders, and even Moana. Hey, good tipster last week. Moana beat the Waratahs. Well done. I'll just give myself a pat on the back. I actually surprised myself. Yes. But if the Drua lose that game, then potentially the Force or either one of Crusaders and Moana can leapfrog them. So, look, I think the Drua will win. You know, they were horrible against the Highlanders last week. Highlanders were pretty clinical. Their defence and their discipline around their defence was outstanding. Dominant set piece, especially the scrum. Their back three, the Highlanders' back three, all Polynesian boys, Nareki, Tavatavanawa, who used to play for Wana last year, and that Ratu Matavuki Nemkins. Those three were outstanding. I'd love to see them play for Moana next year. But, yeah, the Highlanders just put Drua to the sword. I think Drua were really keen to get home, and they'd be looking forward to... Look, I think they'll beat the Rebels. And the Rebels have already qualified, so there's no real motivation for them. They'll probably be laying next to the pool next to you, I'd say, Wikesy.
mate, I'll go there to work, mate. I'm not on holidays.
Yeah, so I think that's the match of the round, but we'll know early. Crusaders Moana is the first game off the rank this week. I think Crusaders will probably win that one. Moana, unbelievable game against the Waratahs, eh?
Yeah, they were outstanding. They came out, and we spoke about that on radio on Monday, Nijan Footy Monday. Just they had a lot to play for. I'm sure you would have sent Sekope Kepu a message just when he announced his retirement. Also Christian Liliuofano, Solomone Funaki also moving overseas. Like, to those three of the original Moana Pacifica players, they had a lot to play for at home.
Yeah, and they've got a massive challenge with the Crusaders this week. And I think Moana, you know, they used a bit of momentum off last week's game. And to, like you said, to send those players off on a winning note would be really, really important for them. And that'll be their motivation, as well as making the top eight. You know, if they beat the Crusaders, they just have to sit and wait and hope that, you know, the Force lose and the Rebels win.
Do you think Moana's season, you know, being their best season yet, has proven that the Pacific rugby is getting stronger every year?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I've noticed over the last couple of weeks, Moana have had some massive disruptions to their team. You know, a couple of players got injured in the warm-up 2 weeks in a row, been some injuries. So they're starting to kind of fall apart. And I just think the Moana boys and that group, they're just getting their bodies conditioned for this week-in, week-out professional rugby. It's tough work. And these guys, you know, we've spoken about these, they've only been really in an ITM Cup season and in a program. So to be in a full professional program takes a toll. And the body, it takes time to get used to that. Just the week in, day out of just hard footy slog every week. They'll be looking forward to a break after this season, I'm sure of it. And they'll come back next year. Watch out for them. I think they're going to be a much better team because some of the stuff they did against the Waratahs, outstanding. And even that game against the Hurricanes a couple of weeks ago, I thought they were outstanding. They're getting better and better. Hevili still making me frustrated, not being able to kick that penalty goal out on the full. Oh, my God. Coach killer. But I think you can cater for those type of things and you just hope that they're going to get better and better, which I think they will.
You know, when you, if you're coaching and you're planning and you're seeing that there's three quality players, leaders moving on, and you talk about the week in, week out of Super Rugby, if you're planning that, are you trying to replace those three with some more experience or are you just blooding the next generation coming through?
Nah, you're planning that. So they would have looked at that earlier in the year. You know, Sekope Kepu, they would have had an inkling that Solomone Funaki would be moving on. I know Sione Talituli has got another year. I'm not sure if it's another two, but they'll be making plans for when that group of players move on. You look at the group now, you know, I think Savea, Julian, is he there for another year? I mean, he's got to take a leadership role, but he would be looking to probably finish up soon as well. But they certainly definitely be looking at, they've got the young hooker, Sam Molly. I thought Isaiah Hullo went well at halfback. They got some leadership qualities. They'll definitely be looking to plan for the future, Wikesy.
Yeah, nice. So hopefully they can fill that hole and keep getting stronger year in, year out, because the improvements have been immense. I know you're not a fan of rotation systems and stuff like that, but if you're the Brumbies, you've cemented third place and you've got to travel the 5 hours to go to the Western Force for a game that might not mean much on the ladder. Do you send your strongest team, or do you leave them at home and rest them up and get ready for first week of finals?
Yeah, bloody really good point there, Wakesy. Look, I think if my group's healthy, I'll try and keep them together. I won't leave anyone at home. Even if I don't play the top group, I'll still take them on the road. You know, the time spent together is valuable. So I'll keep them together. If there's any bumps and bruises, I'll look to rest. But like I said, I'm a traditionalist. I like to keep the best group playing and week in, week out, regardless of. And we want to win, because winning still creates a really good environment, and that momentum you take into the finals is bloody important.
No, you're not wrong there. That winning is infectious, so hopefully they can take that into it. But moving over to the Oceania Rugby Championship between Samoa, PNG, Tonga and Fiji. Did you get out to their training, to the Tonga training?
No, I missed going out there. But Tongans, I heard they lost last week, but they also went down to the Samoan team
last night, on
Wednesday night. Was it a couple nights ago, I think? They've got a chance to redeem themselves tomorrow against the Papua New Guinean side.
Did you find out what Lofa meant, the Lofa 15, for me?
You were on the mark, Waikse. It is the female equivalent of the Ikalitahi. So the Talata is the male Ikalitahi, and the Lofa is the female.
There you go.
But anything else that's caught your eye in the Pacific, with Pacific Nations coming up, you know, after the Super Rugby season? Anything happening around the traps that you can let us know about?
No, I think really interesting to see what the representative teams look like. I think there could be Joe Schmidt, I think, could spring a few surprises on us. And he will, I know, will pick his team on form. So whoever's playing well and contributing, and really some good solid metrics behind their performance this year, I'd say we'll get selected.
All right, Kev, last question from me. Let's get to the real good stuff now. What's your thoughts on State of Origin and who's going to win?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, mate, I grew up watching State of Origin. I'm a Maroons fan through and through, T. Come on. I've loved the whole concept of this competition. And, you know, the Reds will never be as big as the Maroons team, but when the Maroons play, the whole state gets behind them. So I'm a Maroons through and through. I can't wait till it happens. I love the State of Origin. Wally Lewis was the king of Lang Park back in the day. So we hope, look, Maroons all the way, mate.
All right. And that will do, mate. Okay. Get them off.
Did you ever cross paths with any of them while you were playing? Like, did you, obviously you're the king of Tonga. Did you ever cross paths with the king over there?
Yeah, so I've met him a few times, a great guy. But he lives, my family have a couple of small businesses around the area, and the King Wally uses it. So we got a dry cleaning business that he comes in and uses. And my dad was a big Wally Lewis fan. And so my mum just bloody, every time he comes in, she just gushes over him. Oh, how are you going? It never charges him anything for any of
the
dismay of my wife. But he is, I did say to my wife, he is the king. So you can't charge the king.
You can't charge the king.
Any favourite Nijan player that's played for Queensland?
Look, Pedro Sevenisi was one of my favourites. Yeah, look, I love when this time comes around, I get my old Reds jersey. It's the only time I put the Reds jersey on. My
old surprise Reds it still jersey. Fits, mate. That he it's, put yeah. on a couple.
It's a bit tight these days.
That's unreal, mate. Perfect. Good stuff. Kefe, always appreciate your time. And we'll chat to you next week.
Cheers, Kefs.
Pleasure, boys. Keep up the good work.
quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Every time, mate. The Prof Paulo. So if you're new to Knees and Footy Fridays, each week, Junior Paulo, also known as Professor...
Junior? Joseph, you mean?
Oh, man, I keep forgetting. Yeah, Joseph. Yes. Sorry, Seth.
Seth.
Giving us a question each week. We'll keep score. The score is 3.5 to me and 7 to Sammy.
Is it?
And the end of the season, someone's buying someone lunch.
Fancy lunch. Fancy Wagyu steak.
All right, let's go.
With State of Origin around the corner and beginning next Wednesday night, across the squads of 20 in New South Wales and Queensland, who has the most Pacific players?
Queensland.
The answer in the top 17 is 7 all, but with Queensland, two extras as 18 and 19, Felice Kafusi, who's Tongan, and Brendan Piakura, who's Cook Island, takes him to 9. So Queensland is the answer.
Great work, Seth. Great work.
You planned that.
Nah.
You two planned that because you weren't happy with this question the week before.
You know why I said that really quick?
Why?
Because I've seen the photo of the Queensland team, and there was a lot of Nijan brothers in that photo. So straight away, Queensland.
I'm going for Queensland next week then.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
Knockout, one outs, let's go. We are doing our tipping competition where we can't choose the same team more than once, but because Rugby Union is at that pointy end, we're going to choose a 50-50 game. Which game are we going, T?
So we are going with...
Tars Reds. So we're going to keep it Origin.
Yeah, keep it
Origin.
Origin theme. I've been talking to Jeff that plays for the Reds.
Do you know he was walking around the airport without a shoe on? When I saw him in Fiji last week,
he was
lining up in immigration with one shoe on. I was like, oh, bro, you're injured. He goes, nah, blisters.
what's his last name? Tomanga Allen?
Yeah, Tumanga Allen.
Tumanga Allen.
Yeah.
And
no shoe Jeff, but anyway.
Messaged him, said, can you come on to Nijan Footy? And he said he would be glad and honoured to join us on Nijan Footy Mondays. So
it'll be a funny chat.
We will get Jeff on shortly. He's a great character.
Yep.
Spent some good time with him in England as well. So I'm going with the Reds to beat the Tars here in New South Wales, Sydney.
That's tonight, isn't it? There you go. Well, my last game of Super Rugby was against the Reds while I was at Homebush.
And did you win?
No, we got flogged 50-0.
That's why you don't want to pick them.
Ruptured bicep tendon, so it came off. But anyway, that was me done.
50-0?
Or something like that, anyway.
I'm going to
go the Tars. And yeah, Tars to go out with a bang.
Well, Sam, before we head to league, this is a very, very interesting one because 7 teams this week will have a bye due to State of Origin next Wednesday. So there are limited choices. This week you can only pick the Panthers or the Dragons. And yes, they are playing each other. And I can only pick the Bulldogs who are playing the Knights or the Cowboys who are playing the Roosters. So I'll start with you, Panthers or Dragons?
I'm going to go Panthers. Panthers at home, even though they're a few out. I'll go the Panthers.
No, I'm going to that game.
Free tickets again?
No, mate.
Yeah, mate. You don't pay for anything but petrol.
And I will go. I don't see the Cowboys beating the Roosters because half the Cowboys team is playing in the Origin. So I'm going the Bulldogs to beat the Knights. And that will be us for Knees Footy Friday, Sammy.
That's us done, is it? We will see you next week. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Knees Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Quick, Sammy, you're going to miss your flight to Fiji. Kākite.
Oh, yeah. Laters.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.